We're talking about the inner man and outer man some more, and we're going to continue on this series. I hope you're being blessed and learning some things. It's so important, in my view, that the church world sees this image, this picture that Paul seen and built his whole teaching and ministry upon. Once you realize that I have an inner man that's been born again and an outer man that's not, then you begin to see the importance of spiritual truths, the importance of praying in tongues and worshiping. Most of the church world, many in the church world, are under the model of go and do. You're saved, now go and do something. And that's good. Go and do something for God is a good thing. But we see in Paul's teaching a focus and emphasis on growing up, on maturing. And it makes sense when you think about any child being born, that it has to grow and mature. You can't take a baby and give a command. Say, hey, baby, you're fully a human. Now I want you to go drive the car, go pick up groceries, go do this errand, go get a job. Or you wish you'd tell your one-year-old, go get a job, kid, pay your own way. But you don't, because it's a baby. And so that's where this imagery really is important. Many in the church world, the spiritual people, that are seeking spiritual experiences and being used of God under the anointing, they have a vision, a model that says, once I'm born again, I'm complete in Christ, and so I already have everything I need to go and win the world. And I have all the authority, and we're going to learn in this series and other series that you don't have all the authority. The real authority to walk in power is not given to you when you're a child of God. I'm a child of God, I have the authority of heaven. That sounds good, but have you ever seen it work? Have you ever truly seen it work? Somebody who says, I'm speaking in Jesus' name, I have the authority of heaven, lay hands on a lot of broken, crippled, wounded people, and see all of them healed? Have you ever seen that? No, you haven't. It's part of the reason you're here, because in me, something woke up and said, I keep hearing a lot of talk about this, but there's got to be a path from where I am to where that's possible. And so, I remember having a conversation with people about that, because they believe the Spirit was fully complete at salvation. They believe that once you're born again, your spirit's complete, your spiritual man is complete. So all you have to do, Alan, is you have to accept who you are. You don't need to spend all that time praying and growing and maturing. You're already complete. What's left to mature? You just need to accept who you are, believe who you are, believe who Christ made you, and walk it out. And if things don't happen, it's because you don't think right. You have to change your thinking to think like Jesus thought. But you're already complete. It's your thinking. It's your mindset that needs to change. Well, we got some people we've been praying for a long time who are really broken physically. And that, how about we, as Gary Carpenter says, I'll pay your plane ticket for you to go pray for this person if you promise to get them healed. And no one's taking them up on that, because we know that there's something missing. You know there's something missing. I know that. And I remember having that discussion with someone years ago, and they said, no, we're already complete. You're born again, complete in Christ. And they threw some verses at me. And I said, okay, so you're saying that we're already complete, but what I'm seeing is that I have to grow and mature somewhere. And this is before I really understood the inner man and outward man. And I brought up Jesus. I said, well, if Jesus, the scripture says Jesus had to grow in wisdom and stature. Jesus was unknown for 30 years of his life. Until he was baptized in the water and the Holy Ghost came upon him. He really had no miracles. And so if Jesus had to grow, why don't you think you have to grow and mature? You know, if Jesus being a little baby born in Bethlehem was complete, and there he was, and he opened his eyes on earth for the first time, there he is, and he looks up, there's Mary and the manger, and the sheep and whoever else is around that manger, and he says, "Oh, hi, Mary. I'm Jesus, the Son of God. I know everything. I'm complete. I'm full. I want to share with you great secrets, but I can't because all that comes out is goo-goo and ga-ga right now." But see, we look at Jesus' youth, and we know that the people close to him knew he was the Son of God, but there was no evidence of it. They didn't see it. They didn't know it. There was no evidence of it. He had to grow and mature. In fact, let's go look over here in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus is coming back to his hometown and returns after he left. And we'll start in verse 53. "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. So they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?'" Verse 55. "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where did this man get these things?" So they watched Jesus grow up, and he didn't astonish them. He didn't amaze them as a baby. He didn't raise any dead birds from the ground or line up his friends in third grade and said, "Okay, lift up your hands now. Just take this anointing and fall out. There you go. Take that. There. Receive that. Fall out. Boom. There. Boom, boom. There. See, power of God there." He didn't do any of that. He didn't heal the broken arm of a friend. He didn't have any reputation as being unique or different. He had to grow up and mature just like you did. Jesus had to learn who his father was the same way you have to learn how God is now your father. He had to establish a relationship with him. Jesus had to learn who he was, who his calling was, the same way you do. See, there is maturing that's important. Peter says, I won't go into it on this lesson, but Peter says you need to add these things to your faith, that it doesn't come all automatically. You just have to think differently and act it out. You have to grow and mature. There's a picture of maturity and growing in knowledge and growing in love of God. That's all in your scripture. And the reason why the vision of the inner man, outer man is so important, because it shows you where you have to grow. So many Christians are trying to fix their outer man, to dress it up, to look like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, but they're not investing into their inner man, their spiritual being. And so they're just actors. They're acting like Jesus until they quit acting. And it's like the guy who plays Jesus on your Easter program. We glue a beard on him. He grows his hair out long. We dress him in Jesus robes. He looks like Jesus, dies on the cross in front of us for our Easter program. But then the next day he's walking around and he's just a normal guy. I remember one time we went to a vacation place, me and the kids, and there was a guy there that did one night a performance. He was Elvis. And he did really good. He had the Elvis look. He had the long sideburns, and he dressed like Elvis, handed out little handkerchiefs to everyone and sang, you know, a lot like Elvis, bragged about being the one of the youngest Elvis impersonators, and did a great job. It was a great show. We tipped him, and the kids had a great time, were entertained. And the next day we went down to the beach on this resort, and you could pay $5 to do a little tour of the lake on the boat. So we all said, well, let's take a little tour on the lake. So we paid $5. Each got on the boat, and guess who our tour guide was? It was Elvis, but he didn't look like Elvis then. Still had the sideburns, but he was dressed in normal clothes. He was the tour guide. That was his extra job, being Elvis. And so that's like a lot of Christians. They dress up like Jesus, and they look like, they talk like Jesus. They talk about love and being good and holy, and then you see them on the off day, and you realize, oh, you're not like Jesus at all. You were just acting like Jesus. Well, that's what I call the carnal Christianity, the church that's trying to teach you how to act like Jesus. Start loving your neighbor. Start acting this. Start doing this. And they're conforming their outward man to look like Jesus. They're trying to teach their outward man to think like Jesus. But there's a much more powerful, potent way for us and more excellent path for us. And that is to take the part of us that is birthed from Christ in God, the new man, the inner man, and build him up, grow him up, grow it up in the love of Christ and the knowledge of God. And that will be just as if your neighbor met Jesus. That's the goal, that we actually become like Jesus was on the earth. And you might say, oh, that's impossible. But it's not, because the scripture says it is possible, that we're to love our neighbor not with Alan's love, but with the very love of Christ. That's a love that doesn't exist on the only place. The only place you'll find the love of Christ on this earth is in a believer who has matured their inner man. The love of Christ is nowhere found on. It doesn't come from this earth. It doesn't originate on this earth. It must be grown inside the inner man of a born-again believer. It is formed. It comes forth. But it doesn't come forth wholly. You have to grow it up. That's the picture of the inner man and outward man. So let's start in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I have it here somewhere. Verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. So whenever I want you to underline that, do not lose heart, because whenever you see those words, or most of the times when you see those words, do not lose heart, he's referring to this process of growing up the inner man in Christ and mortifying the outward man, diminishing the outward man. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So can you tell me from this verse, where does the renewal take place? What part of are we to renew? Well, it's very clear. It's not the outward man. We're not to many believers under the spirit, soul, and body model feel that the renewing is changing my thinking. But see, it's so much more in depth than that, because your outward man is of the species of the human race. It can never understand the deep secrets of God. So he's not telling us here to renew our thinking, to change our thinking, because otherwise he would have told the disciples to do that before they were saved. No, we are to renew the thinking of the inner man. And I've got my Strong's on my phone here. I'm going to read to you some of the usage for this word renew. See, remember, the inner man contains your spiritual mind, your spiritual heart, like emotions, and spiritual desires. It's of the spirit. Your outward man contains the natural mind, emotions, and desires that are of what we call the flesh. So that's the soul of the outward man, and you have a soul in your inner man that's born of God. But it's born of God like a little child, a little baby, and it must be taught, and the love of Christ must be brought forward. It's not instant. You're not trying to change your thinking to accept who you are. You're trying to grow up who you are, just the way Jesus had to grow up and mature. Outline of Bible usage for the word renew. I won't even try. Or maybe I will. Anakeno is the Greek word. So the usage are to be changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. See, you always had an inner man. It was always there. You always had a spiritual mind. Some people in other religions, spiritual religions, understand that I have a spiritual part of me. There's a spiritual being that I am, and they try to get you to focus on that. But you always had an inner man that was always there, a spiritual mind that was connected to your natural mind. They used to be in unity. But when you got born again, your inner man was brought from darkness to light. It became a new, brand new, made of light and righteousness instead of darkness and sin. So that inner man was always there, but now the inner man is born again. But it's born again like a baby. It has to be built up. So I like this. It says it could be changed into a new kind of life. So the inner man didn't come out of the air. God didn't just make it out of nothing. He took what was there and rebirthed it. See, your new nature was completely rebirthed. Your new nature came from a nature of darkness, turned into a nature of light. Instantly, your new nature is fully complete of righteousness. Your inner man is born again completely righteous, but it's immature. It must grow. And here's some of the wording for renew. So this is from the verse, chapter 4, 16, the 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And the wording for renew is used to say, changed into a new kind of life as opposed to the former corrupt state. New strength and new vigor given to one. And then the number one is to cause to grow up new, to make new, to grow up. Boy, what a great picture in that one word of renew. And now that I have a new inner man that's born again, now my role, my job that I don't want to lose heart in is growing up that inner man and making the outward man perish, making the outward man diminish and eventually mortifying the deeds, the soul of the outward man, the brokenness of the outward man. So we're going to take that verse and we'll read again. Therefore, we do not lose heart even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed, built up, matured, growing up day by day. And we don't want to lose heart. And we're going to look how Paul teaches the same thing to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And remember, he was correcting this idea of trying to follow God through the law. And the law is marvelous to the outward man because God rejects the outward man. The outward man is going to be replaced with a new outward man when the trumpet sounds. For now, we have to deal with it. And the outward man will be glad to play like Christ. I'll be good. I'll behave. Just don't kill me. That's what the carnal church does. It teaches you how to harness your outward man to serve God rather than to let it perish and mortify it and diminish it. So Paul is reteaching them what he taught them before, on how to grow in God and overcome sin. And these guys came in, legalizers came in, Judaizers came in with legal terms, trying to teach him how to offer God things to appease him, which totally makes sense to the outward mind. The outward soul totally knows God as a deity way in heaven and me as a little worm. And so I got to offer him things to make nice so he'll accept me. But the inner man has been born of God. Your relationship with God, if you build your relationship with God through your inner man, you will know God as a father who loves you, who will forgive you and walk with you and always be there for you, never leave you nor forsake you. Not earned, only received because you are born of him like a child and a father. If you try to walk with God through your outward man, your outward mind, your outward soul, you will try to always appease God by giving him things, so then he will accept you. It's the carnal church. What can I do for God to make him love me? Instead of, I am loved by God because I'm his child. The outward man cannot understand that, will never accept that. We'll get more into it. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I'm going to continue from last session. We're going to start in Galatians 5, verse 22. Now remember that saying, do not lose heart. When you're with the process of mortifying the outward man and renewing the inner man. Okay, the renew is not trying to repair the outward man, to look like Christ, to behave like Christ. The renewal is building up the inner man with the knowledge of God and bringing forth the love, joy, peace of God into the soul, the heart of that inner man. The man could not hold the emotion of God's love. He could not hold it until Jesus showed up. Jesus was the first man since Adam to have the love of God in him, agape love. Mankind could not contain, hold, wield, manage the love of Christ because it is too high for man. It's too holy for man. It's too divine for man. But when you were born again, your inner man was born of God, created in true righteousness of holiness. So God built a place for his thoughts to be held, and he built a place for his emotions to be held in you. That's your inner man. But it must grow and mature into those things. So God needed a new wine vessel, a new wineskin to hold the new wine of the new nature. That's your inner man. But you're still wearing the old wineskin of your first birth. That's the outward man. So all that's passed in review. Now, verse 22, chapter 5 of Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit. So fruit, you can underline the word fruit. And Spirit here, I have a little line underneath that S because it's talking about your new nature. Your new nature is a seed that wants to bring forward the fruit of love. This love is agape love. It wants to bring forward the fruit of joy. This joy is not found on this earth. It must be cultivated and grown inside of a born-again believer. This is the joy that God has. Peace, this kind of peace is not bent or afraid or moved by any circumstance ever. You can live in that, but it's got to come forward. A lot of Christians live in a place of denial, calling it peace. But real peace is powerful. It's a piece of dynamite to the enemy's tactics. And that can be grown in you. I don't care what your past is, what your lack of Christianity is. I didn't go to Bible college. I wasn't raised in church. None of that matters because you have access to the teacher who will help bring these things forward, the Holy Spirit. So verse 22, I'm going to try to quit focusing so much, but the fruit of the Spirit, so that is the fruit of the new nature, has to come forward in the inner man. And then once it comes forward in the inner man, it can begin to tackle the outward man. And this was Paul's message of how to be a Christian. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You don't need an outside source telling you because your new nature has in it, already in it, the law of God. Love your neighbor with all your heart. It's already in you in the new nature, but it has to come forward for you to really live it out. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. See, your flesh, that's the outward man, has passions and desires. That is the outward man's soul, is where those passions and desires come from. And we are to crucify that every day. Every day I wake up and there's Alan at the end of my feet, standing there with a clipboard. Good morning, sleepyhead. I've got a whole schedule laid out for us to live. Are you ready? An agenda of how to be happy, successful in life, and have the best life now. I've got it all laid out. And I even, before you complain, I've even put in some prayer time and some good time. We're going to go feed the poor. We'll win some souls. and a little bit of prayer time, and even let you fast one olive off of your salad today. And so is this acceptable? And see, that's my outward man trying to be religious so I don't kill him. And I have to say to that outward man every day, all right, I spent all day getting you up on the cross. I'm going to get you up on the cross today because you don't tell me who I am anymore. And you don't tell me how to be successful anymore. That's the flesh. That's the soul of the outward man. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't go away until we either go to heaven or the trumpet sounds and we receive a new outward man with an outward soul that is completely righteous and light. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So here, the word Spirit here isn't talking about spiritual experiences, dreams, and visions. Don't ever be impressed with people who have a lot of dreams and visions. And one guy said to me, oh, there's a preacher. He meets Jesus every couple times a week. Jesus comes and takes him to heaven, and Jesus teaches him. He said, I wish I could meet Jesus like that. And I said, well, the scripture does say that you're more blessed if you believe without seeing things. And secondly, Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit as our teacher. So you don't want some visitation by Jesus so he'll teach you. If you're having that every couple times a week, I'm concerned that that may not be actually Jesus you're meeting with. But I don't want to be mean there. I'll stop. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is not talking about spiritual experiences. This is talking about a life of living through your inner man. If you're going to live through your inner man, be born again, then walk through the inner man. Make choices, spend time, and develop that inner man. That's how you overcome the outward man. You don't overcome the outward man long term. Short term, you can hold back the outward man by denying it, resisting it. Willpower, I'm not going to do that. That's not God. I'm going to choose to love my neighbor. That's short term, and that's good. If that's how you start there. But if that's all you do, one day your neighbor is going to show up and you'll say, brother, I forgive you. You stepped on my toe. You drove on my yard. You threw trash in my backyard. I forgive you in Jesus' name. God bless you. I hope to see you in heaven. I forgive you. And then the next day he shows up and there's trash and you punch him in the mouth. It's like, where did that come from? Well, that person's always been here. I've just been restraining him. But 10 times of putting trash in my yard, that's all I can handle. See, there's that's you acting like Jesus with your outward man. But your inner man is only of God. It's only of Christ. And when you invest into it, pour into it through praying in tongues, through private worship, reading your Bible, that inner man will grow, that love of Christ will grow, that joy of Christ will grow in the inner man and begin to tackle the outward man with you. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now he's beginning to address subtly and openly that wrong teaching that tried to creep in about ruling over other people by the law. And what was happening, and see, these believers these Gentiles liked to be ruled by the law and by the Judaizers because they said, look, you can do this and win God's approval. And this is how you get over sin, by the law. And Paul is trying to get that out of them. And they were taking their money. Give me money and God will bless you. Oh, great. Brethren, if a man's overtaken but in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. So Paul's reteaching them how he taught them how to deal with brethren and sisters who aren't living holy like they should. Not with a hammer and the law. You're going to hell. If you keep doing that, you're going to hell. That may work for a short time, but eventually people always end up right back where they started. unless they transform. So he says, with gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ was, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For if someone thinks himself to be something, then he is nothing but deceives himself. So if someone is the policeman of the church, you're doing this, you're doing that, he's really nothing. He's trying to speak for God instead of encourage and bring people up. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. The truth is, this is such a hard truth when you see it. Let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. How many services have I been in my past where it was an offering? If I just got that preacher to lay hands on me, I can get the anointing. I can get I can go up a level. If they just lay hands on me, I'd be free. Paul here is correcting all that stuff, saying, examine yourself. This is your walk. You're responsible for you, and you can have as much of God as you want. And then he'll rejoice in himself alone, not in another, where I got this from another person. I got this anointing from so-and-so laying hands on me. There's people now today, they go to the graves of A.A. Allen and Catherine Kuhlman, old healing evangelists, and they soak, they call it soaking, they lay on the grave, and they're soaking in the anointing of Catherine Kuhlman. Sorry. I'm just saving you a lot of time. If you're into that, it won't work. Let each one examine his own work, and then he'll have rejoicing in himself alone and not in one another. For each one shall bear his own load. So there's a walk here where we help each other. We encourage each other. We motivate each other. We strengthen each other. But I'm not your source. No man, no woman, no preacher, no church is your source of more of God except God himself, which you can get in your own quiet spot. Wherever that is, you can have as much time with God as you want. Can't get it from a conference. You can't get it from a prophecy. Those are all fun and all good, but that's not your source. Your source is God and God alone. Okay, verse 6. Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So this is a good line to understand, that he's simply saying, it's good to share your finances with those who teach you. That's a good thing. Do that. But don't do like those other preachers who were trying to take your money by offering you more money, you know, or by offering you more promises. You want to be blessed abundantly. And this can go anywhere from just trying to, you know, get a new house by giving to a preacher to, oh, there's certain guys I know in Brazil and Mexico. I've heard of guys who, preachers who are selling lots in heaven, that God gave them permission to sell plots, lots of heavenly ground. So you give them enough money, they'll actually give you a certificate that you own this lot in heaven. You know, it's a good scam. So it's good to share financially with those who teach you, but don't do it under false promises or false expectations. And the reason that's important, because some people bleed that into the next verse. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he will reap. So because he mentions the idea of sharing good things with the teacher, many people confuse when he says sow, because that's used in different other books to say sow into the gospel. But here he's not talking about money. In verse 6, he's talking about money. Verse 7, he's not talking about money. Verse 6 was just the one line to correct the idea that you should give all your money to the preacher if you want to really have God happy with you. That's verse 6. Verse 7, he goes back to his theme, which is the development of the inner man. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he's not talking about money here. Get your brain out of money. He's not talking about money. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. So whatever you invest into time-wise, focus-wise, you will reap. Verse 8, for he who sows to his flesh or inner man, you just look back in chapter 5, we went into all that, the word flesh. He who sows to his outward man will of the outward man reap corruption. But he who sows to the spirit, the inner man, will of the spirit reap everlasting life. So Paul's correcting this idea of knowing God through legalism, doing good things to earn God's favor, and says, look, if you want to overcome sin, if you want to be right with God, invest, sow your time into the inner man, and you will reap everlasting life. But if you sow your time into your outward man, and more specific, he's using religion, into religious works. If you sow your time into your out flesh, you're going to reap corruption. It'll bring you to a path of corruption. But if you sow your life into your inner man, in growing, investing time into the inner man, you'll reap everlasting life. And then he says, look at verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good. There it is. This is the path of maturity. You're going to, don't let yourself grow weary. And he says, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, we have an opportunity. Let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. See, what do we reap? We reap what he says, the fruit of the Spirit. That's it. You want to see the love of Christ in you? It doesn't come from a service or a worship or a conference of worship. It comes from you spending time with God and cultivating that love forward in your inner man. It will grow and come forward like fruit. Fruit only comes on a mature tree. It doesn't come on an immature tree. It doesn't come automatic. Gary taught that if I plant an apple seed, I don't get an apple. I get a tree that produces fruit. Well, that's your inner man. The tree is a picture of your inner man. That if you will let it grow, spend time and sow your time into that inner man, praying in tongues, worshiping God, reading your Bible, if you'll do that and continue to do it, don't lose heart, because in due season you shall reap if we don't lose heart. Don't go weary in doing good. That doing good is talking about sowing into your inner man. I pray you're seeing all of this. I'm going to eventually bring it over to Romans chapter 8, and I'll do that really quickly as I close. Verse 10, and lay all of this on this one verse, because Romans chapter 8, for those of us who love Pastor Dave Roberson, the focus was a lot on praying in tongues, which we see in verse 26. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps with our weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we understand this, and we love Romans 8. If you've been around Pastor Dave, your Bible falls open to it, because he went there all the time and taught about the value and the importance of praying in tongues. Now, but Romans chapter 8 is talking a lot more about the inner man and outward man than he is praying in tongues. The praying in tongues is the key to Romans 8, but the picture of Romans 8 is that you have a new nature, and that new nature brought to life your inner man, and that inner man can grow up. The outer man is left in darkness, in death. And now you must fight the outward man until the day the trumpet sounds. You got to wrestle with that outer man, and you can mortify its deeds. So all that I'm teaching about the inner man, outer man, really is in Romans 8. It's in all these books, and Paul teaches similar things to different groups. And that's why you can lay them upon each other and see the same picture over and over and over. And when you see this model of the inner man, I have an inner man that's complete, a complete spiritual body with a spiritual mind, emotions, and desires, a spiritual soul that's completely righteous. And I'm still wearing the outward body, mind, emotions, and desires with its soul. And it's still in darkness. Why do you think it says, "May the eyes of my open the eyes of my heart, Lord"? Remember that song, "Open the eyes of my heart"? Like, what does that mean? Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my understanding. What does that mean? Well, you'll find out that it means the inner man can see. You can see, feel, experience God, know God, walk in God through your inner man, which is born of God. Or you can choose to see, feel, experience God, walk with God through your carnal man, and always struggle, always be the same. Or you can do it through your inner man. If you'll sow into your inner man, take the time, make discipline yourself to pray in tongues, to worship, to read the word, and do it again tomorrow. In due season, all of those things, your calling will come forward from that inner man. Your ministry will come forward. Your blessing, your abundance, your peace, your joy, the love, everything you're after in success in life, your better, best life now, will come forward in due season if you'll invest into the inner man, sow into the spirit. God's not mocked. You can sow into the outward man and blame God all you want. You can sow into religion, you can sow into the carnal church all you want, and don't blame God. God's not mocked. You are the owner of your life. You're responsible for how much of God you want. You can have as much of God as you want. Romans 8:10, "And if Christ is in you, the new nature is in you, the body, the outward man, is dead, left in darkness, left in death because of sin. It's been stained in sin. But the spirit, the inner man, is alive because of righteousness. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." And then he goes on to talk about the outward man and even how we're going to get a new outward man. He goes on in Romans 8 to talk about how the saints before Jesus, Abraham and Noah's time, all received their outward body already. And how even in Romans 9, 10, 11 goes into like the millennium and all discussing the process of why he left us with this outward body that's left in darkness and how you have to manage it, mortify the soul of the outward man and magnify the soul of the inner man. I hope you're getting this. Changed my whole life in a sense. I see more than ever the importance of spending time with God, spending time with my Father. What a glorious opportunity you and I have to spend time with God. Wow. Just by stopping your day, saying, "Father, I love you. I worship you. I glorify you. I magnify you. I love you, God. I love you, Father. I worship you." Just a few minutes and you're in the presence of God wherever you are. What a gift to sow into your spirit, man. Spend some time praying in tongues, reading the word, and you'll find in due season all that you're after, all the answers you're after will come forward in victory because you sowed into your spirit, man, your inner man. I love you and I appreciate you spending time with me. I'll see you soon. God bless you.